This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
It is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Matt Jones, sitting in for the great Max Kellerman. It was nice listening to that SportsCenter there coming into it because I was sitting there thinking, this may surprise you. I live in Kentucky. I don't know a lot about hockey. We don't play a lot of hockey here. But I think I know, like, the names of maybe five hockey players, and I was listed at SportsCenter, and two of them were in that SportsCenter. Alex Ovechkin and Marc-Andre Fleury got traded, and I believe Marc-Andre Fleury has been playing since the 1980s. I feel like I heard his name on, like, the, Raj, am I wrong about that?
Yeah, so Thuron Fleury used to play for the Calgary Flames, if that's what they're called. I used to play it on the video game. So Thuron Fleury, a little 5 foot nothing guy, little agitator. So you do know the Fleury name, but he did play in the 80s and 90s.
See, I thought when I was listening to the big show with Overman and Patrick, I thought I heard them talk about Marc-Andre Fleury, but I guess that was a different Fleury. But congratulations to Ovechkin on his new contract and Fleury on being traded from whoever he was to whoever he was. I'm sure he will make a big impact. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests will join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We talked a little bit in the last hour about Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk about him some more because he, of course, showed up at training camp. He looked, he looked kind of smooth. He had his hair slicked back, looked like he's been hanging out on the Jeopardy set and getting his rest, and came in so he wouldn't be fined. And the story, of course, is that he will play this year. The Packers are going to work with him to make him happy this year, and then next year he's free to do whatever he wants. I still have the skepticism that I want to hear exactly, like, the devil's in the details. I want to see this contract that says you can do whatever you want next year, because they still are going to hold on to his rights, so he won't be able to do whatever he wants. But basically, they get a year. And they had the Last Dance meme with the Pippen and Jordan picture, and that's nice. But let's be real. This is the end of a saga for Aaron Rodgers, where I think he went from one of the more popular players in the NFL to the biggest whiner in the NFL. It's funny because a couple years ago, I got the feeling that most NFL fans did not like Tom Brady. That unless you were a Patriots fan, you kind of didn't like Tom Brady. And most people, unless they were like maybe a Bears fan, they still liked Aaron Rodgers. So I always felt like amongst these two great quarterbacks, Brady was the one that was hated. Rodgers was the one that was beloved. And it's funny. In a year, I think it's flipped. I know it's flipped for me. I kind of like Tom Brady now. And I used to be so jealous of him. He was too handsome. His hair was too good. In addition to being the greatest of all time, he had too much going for him. How could you like a guy that seemed to have that much going for him in life? And then he went to Tampa, and I just found him really likable. He seemed to sort of have a good sense of humor. He seemed like he was having fun. You get him away from Belichick and the Boston fans. I just kind of thought he was likable. And then Aaron Rodgers has, in my opinion, become the whiniest whiner that ever whined. I mean, he complains all the time about what most people just call business. And for me to say that a player is complaining too much, that is hard. I know most of you listening don't know who I am, but I am always, always pro-player. I'm always on the player's side because, to me, the players are the ones that add value. The management does not. So I want the players to get as much as they can get. So when I think the player is whining too much, they are whining. But how could you not feel that way about Rodgers? He goes on Jeopardy. All of a sudden he thinks, he's an intellectual. He thinks because he read the questions, he wrote the questions. And all of a sudden he acts like that he has all these career options outside of football. I mean, hosting a game show, Wink Martindale did it, for goodness sake. Like, it's not exactly the highest level of society. But I knew he was going to end up coming back because he wants to play football. Guys who play football, they get in their blood. They can't get out. The only people who stay in the business longer are pro wrestlers. Like, you can't get out until they kick you out. So I knew he was coming back, and he did. And now you end up with a situation where all he did was hurt his reputation. I think if you had a popularity rating, a Q score, Aaron Rodgers went from maybe one of the most popular players in the NFL to, I bet you, amongst the top quarterbacks, I bet you he's last in popularity. I bet you Brady and the other top guys have all passed him because most people think he came off as a whiner. So it didn't accomplish anything, and I think it hurt his reputation. 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's go to Brock in Virginia. I want to see if Brock agrees. Do you like Aaron Rodgers more today than you did 1 year ago?
Hey, what's going on, Matt? So here's the thing, right? I actually totally agree with you, and I happen to be a huge Aaron Rodgers fan, but I think the one thing that has become apparent from all this, if it wasn't already, is that Aaron Rodgers clearly loves himself some Aaron Rodgers, right? Now,
yes.
Listen, nobody is pretending that Green Bay handled this thing perfectly, right? And it's not for us to tell Aaron Rodgers how he's supposed to feel about the perceived way he was treated, whether it be underappreciated, undervalued, undersupported, whatever it is. It happened to him. It didn't happen to us, right?
Correct.
However, he is the one that chose to handle it the way he did. He could have been honest. He could have just been upfront about it all. But instead, it just felt like it was a whole lot of arrogance, smugness, a real coy way of being like, well, I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens. It felt like he thought he was playing this game with everybody and just laughing behind the scenes while we all wasted our good, valuable time analyzing and talking about it when he knew what he was going to do the whole time anyway.
You know, Brock,
that
is a great point. I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm going to. That was a great point. So I'm going to appreciate the call because the word is smugness. You hit it. He's smug. And smugness is a trait that, like, it's like just as Powell said, you know it when you see it. And there's smugness. There was a sense that he sort of looked at everybody, especially the sports world, with a kind of smile on his face and sunglasses and said, I'm smarter than all of you. I'm smarter than all of you. And yet, he wasn't. And the one thing, I mean, Brock's a fan of Aaron Rodgers. Smugness is the one trait that almost nobody likes. Sometimes we like arrogance. Think about Deion Sanders. He was arrogant as they come, but people liked him. But smugness, which is a derivative of arrogance, nobody likes somebody that's smug. And I agree with you. For the first time, I never felt that way about Aaron Rodgers before. But I felt that way about him now. This summer made that happen. I think that's a really, really good point. Jay is in Iowa. What do you got, Jay?
And here's the reason why. I you started the show off talking about Simone Biles and all that she talked about, and you said that athletes are different from where they were 10 years ago with social media and everything like that. You got to put that in the same context with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, social media is out there. He really hasn't said much about it. It's what other people have said. But shouldn't he have that right now to tell people that he's upset because they haven't been, given him
the opportunity? Listen, does he have a right? Now, wait a minute. First of all, you know all the information we got. He leaked it all. So I don't believe he didn't say anything. But I will say this. You are right. He has a right to talk. But then we have a right to say what you are saying is nonsense, right?
But don't you think the athletes today want that more of that control with their teams? I mean, look at all of our athletes nowadays. I mean, this is what it's come to. They want say, and I think he's deserved that right because of what he has done for that organization. I'm a Rodgers fan. Do I agree with it? No, but I think this is the way that we're going in our society with social media, that this is, they want their say. They want to be a part of it. They want to be a part of the decision-making in the organization. I mean, you can see this on other athletes too. LeBron James is a great example of it.
I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, I don't know the last play. Well, look, let's take LeBron. LeBron gets criticized a lot for exactly what I'm talking about, for complaining for the sake of complaining. So, I mean, I don't think you can use LeBron and say, well, Aaron Rodgers shouldn't be criticized. I'm not sure there's any athlete that is criticized more than LeBron.
I agree. But I think you talk about Brett Favre. I think that was a different day and age when during that time with that they didn't tell Brett Favre that. But I think in this age, you have to start telling these athletes, this is who we're bringing in. This is what we want to do. They want to be a part of the future. They want to know what you're doing to make their decisions, because there's no loyalty anymore to one team. players are jumping from one place to the other. They're going to teams all the time. Look at all these super teams in the NBA. I mean, there's no loyalty like it used to be a long time
That's
ago.
That's true, and I appreciate the call. There isn't loyalty like there used to be, but it sure felt like a lot of whining. Ryan Clark is ESPN's NFL analyst. He's on the Goodyear Hotline. I'm excited to have you, Ryan, because I really, really enjoy listening to your work. So I want to ask you the first question. I've sort of made the case that I think Aaron Rodgers kind of was a loser in this, not just in terms of his leverage, but also in terms of kind of the PR hit he took with a lot of people, that he sort of came out like a whiner in this situation. Do you agree or disagree?
I think in some ways, yes. But when you think about the leverage that the team actually had, the Green Bay Packers didn't have to bend at all.
Yes.
You know, if everything stays as it was, you know, he could have been traded, you know, after next year. It was so many different things that could have been done. And so now you get more money. Now you get this new deal done, and you're in a better place than you were at the beginning of the summer. Or in a better place than you were before the announcement came out during the draft. And so now, if you're Aaron Rodgers, it's about what did you do this year? I think from a PR perspective, people will ignore it if you play extremely well. If he plays MVP caliber football again, then they'll think it's worth it. They'll think that somebody like him can make this much noise. If he doesn't play well, then you'll get to the other side of it. But I think the fact that he's in camp today, he's not going to miss any games, not going to miss any practices, that's kind of like all is well that ends well from a fan perspective if you're a guy that loves Green Bay.
If you're a guy that loves Green Bay, you're going to forgive everything if he plays well. But I sort of made a broader point, Ryan. I think 2 years ago, if you're talking about two guys that can get compared all the time, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, a lot of fans, unless you were a Patriots fan, a lot of fans kind of didn't love Tom Brady, maybe a little jealous of him, kind of liked Aaron Rodgers, and part of me thinks that's flipped. I think Brady's kind of become lovable, and Aaron Rodgers has kind of become the guy that, unless you're a Packers fan, you don't particularly like him. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think the stuff with Tom Brady was just because he's better than everybody. You just get tired of people winning. but I think the Aaron Rodgers thing has kind of always been that way to me, because I don't necessarily believe that Aaron Rodgers, when he speaks, inspires people.
Oh, really?
When you watch Aaron Rodgers in post game interviews or post game pressers, I'm never moved by his leadership. Mm-hmm. Now, I think, and I say this all the time, I played against Tom Brady, I played against Peyton Manning. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback I ever played against, and it's not even a conversation. And so I think him being that way, or kind of being who he is, and what we saw from him this summer, is really who Aaron Rodgers is. Aaron Rodgers is individualistic to a point. Aaron Rodgers does have a little bit of arrogance to him, but it's also part of what makes him such a good quarterback. He's extremely intelligent. And I feel like we got to see those things at work throughout the summer, and I just don't know if people ever loved Aaron Rodgers like that. At least I don't know anybody that did. And the hate for Tom was as much hate as it was admiration. I don't really feel like Aaron Rodgers gets any of those things. We just always talk about how supremely talented he is.
Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst on the Goodyear Hotline. Let me ask you, as a player, in my experience with players, when these business things happen, the players sort of don't hold any grudges to their fellow players because they're like, hey, get your money. Generally speaking, do you think that's true in the Green Bay locker room on this as well?
Absolutely, because he's here, right? Because he's there. And Aaron Rodgers didn't speak much on the topic, but just the news we were getting and the hits that his people were putting out, Aaron Rodgers said nothing bad about the players in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers said nothing bad about the head coach. Aaron Rodgers, or the news seemed to be, he had an issue with the executives, an issue with the GM, the issue with Mark Murphy. And so if you're a player, you understand that split between ownership and labor in the NFL is probably as big as it is in any of the major four sports. And so you know that's not your business. You know that that's something that he has to handle that doesn't truly affect who he is in our locker room. And those guys are going to be happy to see Aaron Rodgers. I'm sure Devontae Adams is looking to give you 17 more touchdowns this year because he has his guy back. And maybe we do get that Last Dance Green Bay
30 for 30, and, you know, we can say how Brian Gutekunst, you know, turned to Jerry Krause. I don't know, but yeah, we're going to get a year of Aaron Rodgers with the Green Bay Packers, and if you're a Packer fan, you got to be excited about that.
I feel like they got to have won more than they've won to use the last dance, but we'll leave that as it may.
Absolutely.
If you were the Texans general manager or the Texans coach, what do you do with Deshaun Watson? He's reported. Do you practice him? Do you even put him in public? What do you do?
This is one of those situations that there's not a handbook written for. You know, yeah, when you become a first-time head coach, they don't hand you a manuscript that teaches you how to do this. And so we obviously understand he's dealing with a ton of off-the-field issues right now. He's still requesting a trade, but he is in camp because he doesn't want to get fined $50,000 a day. You have a person that's now walking around your building that it is unequivocally clear he doesn't want to be there. And now you're looking to move him, but the price is going to be too high, especially at this part of the season. You can't get anything to help your team now. And so when you think about where the Texans are, I say you keep Deshaun Watson away from having to do many interviews. You allow him to go to the meeting rooms. I think you allow him to throw the football, but Tyrod Taylor has to be the guy taking the snaps with your number one offense and preparing him for the season.
Well, let me just take a step back, because I could see you being a GM. Would you trade for Deshaun Watson, knowing what he's dealing with off the field? I mean, would you want to take that risk? I mean, the Texans
not.
Sort of don't have a choice.
Absolutely.
But would you want, if you're the Broncos, would you want to?
I don't. Not until there's some clarity, not until we know and we can kind of see what the foreseeable future of Deshaun Watson is going to be, that we can actually understand where his court cases are headed, if he'll even be playing football in the next year. I just don't think right now, with everything that's looming, all the things that he's dealing with, you want to bring that into your locker room.
Let me get you out of here with this. I feel like I could turn on any TV show or radio show and see you talking about the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm not going to ask you about them. I want to ask you about, give me a team that maybe doesn't get talked about a lot in the offseason, that when it comes January, we're going to be talking about.
You know, it's kind of hard, right? Because you get the usual suspects. But I think a team that we've kind of slept on is the Seattle Seahawks. You know, we had some early talk about them with the Russell Wilson news early on in the offseason. You know, they go out, they get Gerald Everett at the tight end. Obviously, you already have Russ. You know, we know what DK can do on the outside. I think this is a team that could really be on the cusp of making some noise. And it's not that they weren't good last year or they haven't been good in the last few years. It's just been really quiet about Seattle. Even when I'm doing shows, I don't hear a lot of people talking about them in the NFC. And I think that'll be a mistake. When you have a quarterback like Russell Wilson, when you have a coach like Pete Carroll, type of pedigree, championship pedigree that team has, I just don't think, you know, you can count them out.
Do you think some people in the media and like kind of sleep on Pete Carroll a little bit? It's almost like because he's such a rah-rah guy, maybe because he was a college guy, they don't give him the respect I think he deserves for his record.
Yeah, no, yeah, like if there was another coach with Pete Carroll's resume, we'd talk about him way more glowingly than I feel like we do. No, I'm a defensive guy, so I've always loved the Seattle Seahawks under Pete Carroll. I've understood, you know, and I've enjoyed the transition to making them a Russell Wilson team, right, the way that he can still lead. But we, you know, this guy's been to two Super Bowls. He's won a Super Bowl in Seattle. He's a constant playoff contender. And yet we don't really talk about him being amongst the greats of the active coaches. And I really think that's a disservice to Pete Carroll and kind of ignoring some of the things that he's done well.
Ryan Clark, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. We appreciate the time.
My man, you have a great day.
You as well. Goodyear is helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear is more driven. You know, if you have a motorcycle, an ATV, or even a truck that's sitting in your garage, maybe you've been wanting to sell it. Well, with RumbleOn.com, a website I go to all the time, you can easily turn your unused vehicle into cash in minutes. RumbleOn.com will give you a cash offer for your vehicle, and they'll pick it up for free anytime, anywhere. If you got a Harley, a Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha, and even if you're just looking to trade in, RumbleOn will pay cash no matter what the make or the model. So see what RumbleOn can do for you by visiting RumbleOn.com. Fast bikes, faster cash. Raj isn't even here because he's on RumbleOn. I can't get him off of RumbleOn.com. That's how excited he is. I'm excited because I think everybody's still sleeping on Team USA. They're all giving up on them. Yeah, they've lost 3 of 5, but they're still going to win the gold medal. That I'm sure of. And I'll tell you why next on the Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It is the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. I'm Matt Jones, filling in for Max Kellerman. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN. I'm going to get back to a couple of your calls here in just a second. But Team USA lost the men's team, of course, the first game basketball in the Olympics, and everybody predictably has gone crazy. Greg Popovich, who probably is one of the best coaches of all time, is now being said to be unable to do even the most basic amount of coaching, and they lost to a team that was led by Rudy Gobert and Evan Fournier, and that's not exactly the best look for USA basketball. But I'm still convinced that they are going to win the gold medal. And the reason is you have to sort of take a look at this in a bigger picture. This team had never even practiced together. I mean, I want you to think about that for a second. Had never even practiced together. They haven't had a 12-man practice yet. Well, they probably have now, but they hadn't before that first game. Before the games they lost before the Olympics started, they didn't have Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton. And if you watch that game against France, you saw how important Drew Holiday was. He might have been the best player. In terms of how they actually constructed the roster, it's not perfect. But some of that was beyond everybody's control. You couldn't predict that Bradley Beal would have his issues. I am a Kentucky guy. I love Keldon Johnson. But if you had told me he would be on the United States Olympic team, I would have never imagined it. But they had to have him because of the situation. I still think you give this team time to cook, they will win. As bad as things were, they had a third of their team get there literally 24 hours before the game, jet lagged, celebration lagged for two of them, and they still had three wide open threes to win. Are you telling me that if Kevin Durant and Dame Lillard have wide open threes to win, you think they're going to miss them every time? I just don't. Now, it's not certain they'll win. I would argue this Australia team, which starts five NBA guys, is next to the Spain team with the Gasols a few years back, probably the best international team in a long time besides the U.S. So they could lose. But I still say every game they're going to be the favorite. The way they do the Olympic competition, pool play really doesn't matter. They're going to play Iran next. They'll win by 40. And my guess is we'll be sitting here in 10 or 11 days with the USA winning. Here's the problem for USA basketball. Winning isn't even enough. We don't give them credit even if they win. They have to win by huge amounts, and then we go, well, that's what you're supposed to do. At some point, we are going to have to sit back and go, you know what? We're not supposed to win every single time by huge margins. The rest of the world's gotten good. They're still not as good as us, but they're pretty good. And we will lose one year. One of these countries is going to put a group together that can win. But this isn't the year. I know they've lost 3 of 4. But come see me in 10 days when they win the gold medal. And I will tell you respectfully and not smugly like Aaron Rodgers, I told you so. 888-SAY-ESPN. If you have a thought about the Olympics, Aaron Rodgers, or anything else, let me hear it. I want to start with, how about Andre in Massachusetts, who I think is going to come on and talk about Simone Biles, who we led off with on this show. Andre, how are you?
Doing well, yeah. Just wanted to touch on the Olympics and in terms of our top athletes not shining when the bright lights are on. And this relates more to Team USA basketball in terms of Simone Biles and the whole mental health awareness. I understand that. And, you know, take the time and hopefully she'll be able to get back for individual competition. But I have no sympathy and no more time for Team USA basketball from the standpoint that these are athletes making hundreds of millions of dollars. It's different than some of these other sports. The glory sports, basketball, you know, you guys, you already paid and treated like luminaries. You have to deliver. The Olympics matters. And the point is, the Olympics is not about who would be better in a seven-game series. We all know the Team USA would win a 3 out of 5 or seven-game series. You have to execute in a single elimination
setting.
But Andre,
They haven't lost yet. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember who lost in pool play in any Olympics ever?
Yes, I do. To answer your question, I do remember.
When? Okay, so give me some examples of some big-time losses in pool play over the – tell me what pool play was like in 2012. Who won and who lost?
No, because we don't have to go back to 2012. We only have to go back to 2019 when Team USA went 6-2 and finished.
Yeah, but that's the World Championship. That's the World Championships, and maybe we should care more about them, but it's not the same as the Olympics. The Olympics is what the NBA players care about. We put better teams together in the Olympics. You're acting like they've already lost. They haven't lost yet.
Here's my final point. Listen, Coach K lost one game in 2006 World Cup. He went on to win 76 straight games, 3 straight gold medals, 2 world championships. Greg Popovich, his record is almost 500 as the Team USA coach. There are serious problems.
But would you agree, Andre, would you agree that the top of the top all played for Coach K? And that is not what Greg Popovich has. It's different when LeBron, Wade, Kobe agree to play. The equivalent in today's NBA, with the exception of Durant, chose not to.
Because Coach K had a culture that made those top-tier players want to come back Olympics after Olympics, and Coach K didn't even want to come back in 2016. They had to force him to come back. That's my point. He had the, whatever you want to call it, about him, where he had the magnetism that, for whatever reason, Popovich doesn't have, and
well,
that's why I'm not confident.
Andre, that may be true. I mean, I think actually that's your best point. I mean, it took you 3 tries to get to your best point, but I like the third one, Andre, so I'll cut you off there and say that's well done, because that is true. They did like playing, but you also have to remember the situation. A lot of those guys did that because the team had gotten so low last time. And while I think they're going to win the gold medal here, if they do not, then in 2024, it'll be like it was then, and all the best players will come play so they can go win. That you have to remember the context. The context was LeBron and Kobe and all those guys decided to play because they didn't want us to lose again. That's the way it goes. You know, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. I've watched a lot of the Olympics, and I have some theories on some of the sports you're not watching that you should be. Plus, a final word on the biggest stories of the day. That's next here on the Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It is the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. I didn't expect to hear this song on SiriusXM Channel 80. You're playing a little Town Mountain here, which I didn't. I guarantee this has never been played on the Max Kellerman Show before. I'm Matt Jones filling in. Town Mountain is a great bluegrass band for all of you that don't know them. This is Arkansas Traveler. Connor played that for me last weekend, and now he earth last Friday, and now he plays it today. How nice is that? 888-SAY-ESPN. Finish up for the day. I want to talk a second about the Olympics. I've been really enjoying, I don't know about you all, I enjoy the random sports. Like, I enjoy turning on the TV and seeing something that I've never seen and deciding, you know what, I'm going to get into this. And within 10 or 15 minutes, Raj, I'm going to be an expert on it. I'm not just going to be watching it. I'm going to be telling these athletes what they should be doing. You know, I'll sit and watch doubles badminton And after a few minutes, I'm like, you got to work on your backhand there, sir. Like, if you don't, you're going to have no chance. You got to go down the line with that shot.
You're that guy?
I am. Because, like, it doesn't take long. You know, these announcers are good, so you can't help enjoy. I watched surfing this morning. You know, if you're going to if you're gonna have a surfing competition, have it in, you know, in Japan during a typhoon, and they did, and it was excellent to watch. I also have gotten really into ping pong. I mean, the doubles ping pong where you have to hit it and then get out of the way so the other person can hit it. I really enjoy that. There's a lot of great sports out there, and I don't understand how people don't like the Olympics. I know there's this big narrative out there, like, oh, the ratings are down. First of all, here's a little secret. When you hear people talking about the ratings, they all have an agenda. They all have some sort of agenda they're trying to promote. The ratings are down for everything because, you know what? We have other things to do. Like, we have these little phones that we're all addicted to that we can do. We can watch. I have like 10 streaming services, and I don't particularly watch any of them. It's such a waste of money. But we all have all these things. So, you know what? Yes, the ratings are going to be down. But I've never understood why people care about the ratings. Why do you care what other people are watching? Like, if you like it, what difference does it make if the dude down the street watches it? Like, why do you care? Are you at his house? Do you want to sit there and see him? I mean, the Kentucky Derby gets some of the highest ratings of any sporting event. But if you don't like horse racing, why do you care? Why do you care that we're watching it? Or why do you care if we're not watching it? So the Olympics, I saw something like 22 million people watch last night, and people are like, oh, that's disappointing. Well, why is it disappointing? Because if you got to see that young lady from Alaska, 17 years old, win the gold medal, and then they showed the video of her high school friends jumping up and down and going absolutely crazy. Like, that's what this is all about. Like, how awesome was that? And she finished, and she was shocked she won. And she sort of looked and said, I can't believe I won. If you don't like that because you want to sort of rant like nobody's watching the Olympics, I just don't understand you. Why do you care? If you can't get joy out of watching people play badminton, then I don't know what it is in your life that's so bad, because it is a lot of fun. And I enjoy the Olympics. There's still 10 or 12 more days. Right now, there's synchronized diving. I didn't know that was a sport. I'm already upset at the pike position these guys are in, though, because they're not going to win unless they tuck it better. And that's the kind of thing that happens only when you watch the Olympics. Mike Gallo is on the phone. He's apparently a former Houston Astros pitcher calling in on 888-SAY-ESPN. Mike, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, I'm a member of that bullpen in 2005 when we got swept by the White Sox, so we didn't cheat.
I like that. I'm a member. Our bullpen was so bad, we didn't cheat. Mike, I like that. That's a good way to look at it.
No worries, man. I did my job. I have a zero ERA. But look, I'm a huge Packer fan. My mom's from Wisconsin. I fell in love with them when the Los Angeles Rams left me in high school to St. Louis. So I fell to the Packers, and I saw Aaron Rodgers sit the bench for a couple years behind Favre. And, you know, over the last 2 years, I've been hearing, oh, the Packers are treating Aaron Rodgers like garbage. If they didn't have him, they wouldn't be even sniffing the playoffs. They wouldn't win their division. And it's true. They didn't treat him like the MVP he should be. And obviously these payrolls keep getting higher and higher. He's not getting paid like an MVP.
Mike, what do you mean they didn't treat him like the MVP? They pay him a zillion dollars. Everybody in Green Bay loves him. They treated him just like San Francisco treated Joe Montana. They treated him just like Green Bay treated Brett Favre. Listen, they didn't. New England ended up getting not paying Tom Brady. Like, it happens. That's what happens in the NFL.
True, true. Now, hear me out. I got blasted 2 years ago when they drafted Love, and they didn't get any wide receivers. And the media said the Packers aren't getting Rodgers any help. They drafted a quarterback. They fired their quarterback. They fired the quarterback coach without even talking to Rodgers. Is that confirmed that happened last year? I heard something like that happened. So, you know, I'm not saying, trust me, all my boys are hitting up. He's a diva. I go, look, if he wins the Super Bowl this year, all this stuff is going to be gone. But if he loses this year, he's going to deserve all the negative
slack. That's true. And that's a great point. Mike, nice to hear from you. That's a great point. If he doesn't win this year, he has put a big bullseye on his back of criticism. If he does not win this year, people will be on him, and he'll deserve it because he will. They've given him what he wants, and if he doesn't win, then that, at this point, is completely on him. Raj, do you like the Olympics like I do? You enjoy all these random sports, these sort of, you know, mountain biking and all that, or are you one of these guys that's like, forget it?
I'm one of the guys, if I don't watch it the 4 years in between, I'm not watching it because it's the Olympics.
See, that's a very close-minded view, and I'm disappointed in you. For 2 hours, I've enjoyed being around you, and now you disappoint me at the end.
You're even going to get more angry at me when Max and Bubba find out that I root for the other countries because it means more to them.
Well, sometimes I do too. That happens. By the way, watch 3-on-3 basketball, although they call it 3x3 basketball. But it is very, very entertaining. Thanks to you folks for letting me sit in with you today. Thanks to Max Kellerman, Raj, Connor, and everybody back in the studio. I'm Matt Jones. This has been the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.